It's just me doing it. So while you got your health and strength, you ought to do more.
For it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Say with me, amen.
Amen.
You
seated. The presence of God in this holy assembly. This is a holy assembly. Amen.
Amen.
You have been set apart for a specific task. As we said, our subject is, I ain't never scared. Our verse of focus is in verse 1, but it's actually starting with, whom shall I fear? And we will not try to preach what we have already preached. We're going to pick up at verse 6. I would say that if you hadn't heard the first part of it, that you would get the tape or something. It was good to me.
Amen. Amen.
David says, I'm never scared because of the fact that the Lord is my light. Yes, yes, the Lord is my light and my salvation. And he asks the question, whom shall I fear? In other words, he's saying, I ain't never scared. The Lord is the strength of my life. Lord have mercy. And he says, of whom shall I be afraid? What you must need to know is that he wasn't afraid because of his triumphs. That was our first point. Because of his triumphs, what God has already given him, victory. Look at somebody say, if God has given you a victory. And if the truth be known, God has not only given you a victory, he has given you victory. Have I got one witness?
Amen.
Yeah, he said, because of my triumphs. And he says, I'm never afraid because of my trust.
Well,
yeah, verses 1 through 5, that's where I'm at now. He said, because of my trust. And then he said, because of my worship. Because of my worship, I'm never afraid of anything. And why am I never afraid? Because the Lord is my light.
Yeah.
And my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Because of my worship. And that's what we pick up now. He says, and now what, David? He says, and now because of my worship. Notice here in verse 5. For in the time of trouble. Anybody ever been in trouble?
Yes.
Somebody in trouble right now. Maybe that's why you're so quiet this morning. I don't know. But if you're in trouble or you know somebody in trouble, the word of God lets you know. He says, in the time of trouble, I'm going to hide you.
Yes.
Lord, have mercy. That's good news right there.
Yes.
I don't know what you're going to do, but that was a good message. You should have praised him right there.
Yes.
Did you not know that God can hide you right in the presence?
Yeah.
Of your enemies.
Yeah.
How do I know? Because it's right there in the text. He says, David, if you worship me, I'm going to sit you on a rock.
Yeah.
Lord have mercy.
Yeah.
When he sits him on a rock, the Bible said, I'm going to sit you up. Somebody say up. I'm going to sit you up where you can be seen, but your enemies can't see you.
Down here, but when the Lord raises you up. all your enemies, you'll stop looking at what they do and you start looking at why they do what they do. There's a reason that people are mean and ugly and despiteful. Somebody said you got to look at the source. I told you before, if you want to find out how people are, don't listen to what they say about themselves. Listen to what they say about others. If I'm always talking down and bad about people, something wrong in my life. You ever seen a mean, despiteful person? That person ain't happy at home. Or I'm going to walk the dog. When you only speak to those who speak to you. I'm talking to somebody right now. You won't speak unless somebody speaks to you. That ain't Christ-like. Look at somebody say, that ain't Christ-like. Jesus said, what profit do you if you only speak to those who speak to you? But a child of God will speak to those who won't speak back. I know we're getting in class right there because I'm talking to somebody. I mean, God, right there. David said, because of worship, now I see things from my enemy's perspective and they don't bother me like they used to. Lord have mercy. Somebody said, we got to move on. He said, because of my worship, therefore will I offer up in thy tabernacle, the sacrifice of joy. Yes. Lord have mercy. If you knew what I've been through, you know why I shout like I shout. You know, I said what I'm going to start doing when I start going to church, I'm going to have to look at the person behind me and tell them, look, you may not want to sit behind me because I'm going to get up and I'm going to block your view because God has been too good to me. Here this morning that ain't bent the knee and ask God, They're ready in my spirit for worship. But sometimes the reason you don't feel nothing when you come to worship is because you don't pray before you get there.
Amen.
Somebody say, I was glad. When they said to me, when I got the notion in my spirit that I was going to church, my soul got happy in the bathroom. I was trying to shave, but every now and then I would get a little ooh in my spirit. Oh man, I'm the only one in here. I was singing in the shower before I got to church. I was praising before I got to church. I don't wait just to get to church to praise. In the book of 1 Thessalonians, we went to prison ministry, and if we did not have time, Lord have mercy. In Thessalonians, the Bible says we are to pray without ceasing. Lord, can I tell you what praying without ceasing means? Praying without ceasing does not mean you walk around all the time talking, Lord have mercy. Hallelujah. And that's weird. Have you noticed that for some folk, the closer to the God they get, the weirder they get? Y'all ain't gonna say nothing because they're here. You can't even carry on a piece of conversation with somebody who done got real holy. Every time out their mouth, oh glory. And all I said was good morning. To get closer to God, you don't have to get weird. But I told you, praying is like making a phone call. Everybody ever make a phone call? Yeah. You know, in times of old, you had to dial the number. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
You would turn that thing up.
Amen.
Turn it. This morning. I can tell some of y'all ain't talking to God. Y'all have to hear. After you get in the next, you say hello to you talking. Now, in times of old, we got through with talking, what did we do? We would hang up. We would actually, literally take the phone and put it back. We don't even have to do that now. All you got to do is hit end. Yeah, a lot of us think that's what happened when we say amen, but I come to let you know amen does not mean I'm ending my prayer. All amen means is I'm in agreement with what I just said. Somebody say amen. That means that you are in agreement with us right now. Somebody say amen. Praying without ceasing is not like hitting end, it's like hitting speaker. I just lost somebody right there. When you put somebody on speakerphone, you can lay the phone down, they can still hear you. Are you still with me? Put it on speakerphone because I might need Jesus and I don't have time to dial him up. Sometimes you get in a big mess and big trouble. All I got time to say is, Lord, have mercy. Somebody say, put it on speakerphone. Yeah. He had a relationship with the Lord. He prayed to God. And get this. You know, prayer partners are good. Everybody, and it has their place. But can't nobody pray for you like you can pray for him? Am I right? If you don't ask him to pray, that's good. I pray. But look, you ain't going to tell me. And notice what David does. David says that not only do I pray to God, Can I just let you know, it ain't God. Some of y'all dog the conversation of prayer and never let God get a word in edgewise. Who am I talking to? Have you ever talked to somebody and everything, every other word is I and me? Just think about that. Maybe you can't say amen because that's you I'm talking about. But some folk you talk to, you can't, you know, have you ever just waited to get a word in? You think they're about to stop and they start up again? Come on now, y'all. Prayer is dialogue. We're talking to God, but we're also allowing God to talk back to us. The word says that David said, look, don't take my word for it. It's in the book. Look at verse number 8. When thou say, David is talking about God. He's saying, God, when you say, seek my face. David said, my heart, Lord. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Thy face will I seek. Somebody say two-way communication. You're speaking to God, but God is also speaking back to you. Sometimes you need to shut up.
Amen.
I know that's hard for somebody right there. Sometimes you need to shut up. And you know, sometimes your prayer time is so short, it's only time enough for one person to pray anyway. And sometimes the only time you pray right before a meal, and that's not a prayer. Good luck to that. God sent me by the tell you, he says, what's that? I'm talking to the one there who is ashamed of God. You in public, you eating right there in public on your lunch hour. Oh, I'm in somebody's closet. You get ready to eat around your friends. I'm looking at you dead in the eye because I'm coming down your aisle. And you act like you nod off. You think that's prayer? No. No, that's not prayer. You need to put your hands together in front of everybody to let them know this is prayer time. I know this is your lunch hour. This is my prayer time. Because before I eat, I give thanks to the one who made it for me. Lord have mercy. And God says, when you rush through talking to me, I don't listen to you.
Well,
that's why I say you got to take some time. You got to take some time. And I put my hands together and I pray and I zone everybody out. Ain't nobody really there now. Why is that? Because we're supposed to pray in spirit. I got to leave my body.
Oh, well.
Oh, yeah. Don't miss this. Jesus came where we were in the person of Jesus Christ. He made himself a body. Now we got to go where he is. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit. It takes a little bit longer than 3 or 4 seconds for me to transform and get out of this body and to go where heaven is. I know I love somebody. We got to go where he is now. So when I'm praying, ain't really nobody there. I ain't even there. I'm where he is. I done left my body off. I know I didn't want to come to that. David says, yeah, I ain't never scared because I have a relationship with him. Little prayer, little power. Much prayer, much power. Listen, my friend, how much power you got this morning. And notice what we are to, what God wants us to seek after. God told David, seek my face. He didn't say, seek my riches. He didn't say, seek my fortune. God sent me by to tell Simeon that he wants you to stop asking for his stuff and start asking for himself. Time that we go to God is, you know, your children ever call you up and you don't never hear from them. Until they want something. Some of y'all are just like that. You don't talk to God until you need something, until you want something. Let me tell you something. God is not a super Walmart.
All right.
You don't never hear from him unless you ask him to try to get his stuff. He said, you're not going to get my stuff until you get myself.
All right.
And check this out. You will get his stuff if you get yourself. Oh, how I know? Because Matthew 6:23 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all. Somebody say all.
All
these things shall be added. I know that's awesome.
Well,
for a few of y'all who still on board, stop seeking his stuff and start seeking himself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why would I want the stuff on the shelf when I can have the store?
All right.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Okay, we gotta move. Look at verse 12. No. After you have proven some things through the pains of life, you have experienced some things. He said, I ain't never scared because of my triumphs. Go back and read it in the first of this chapter. I ain't never scared because of my trust. I ain't never scared because of my talks or my relationship with God. Now, if you have experienced some stuff, you can become a teacher. And that's what he does. There's a shift now in the text because now he done talked to God. He done talked to us. He done talked to God. He's back talking to us now. But he's not talking to us as he once was. He's not telling about us about what he's experienced. Then he's like, he's going to teach you something. Verse 13 becomes a teacher and he says, I had fainted. I love David because David is real. David is saying, look, life has not always been pretty.
That's right,
Pat. Life has not always been easy. Sometimes I had to go through a rough spot. Yeah. David says, I had to go through darkness. And have you ever seen anybody who wants to make like they ain't never had no trouble in their life? David ain't like that. David said, you know, I almost quit. It's right there in the text. Look at the text. He says, I had fainted. That's right. He said, I almost threw in the towel.
Right.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Let me bring it closer to home. I almost threw that Negro out. I almost went down there to the job and told him exactly what I think. I ain't got there yet to you. I almost took a gun to my own head. Come on, somebody. Don't tell me you ain't never been through something. Don't tell me you ain't never felt like giving up and quitting.
Amen.
I almost got a divorce. And after my divorce, I almost lost my mind. I ain't got to you yet. That sickness almost took me out. Somebody ought to say hallelujah right there. I almost didn't come back to church. Because of them Negroes down there. Those hypocrites. I ain't got to your corner yet. I almost didn't go back to church. Gentile. But I believe that I'm going to see the glory of God in the land. While I was still alive. Look, somebody said, there's still hope. If you got breath in your body, there's still hope. Look, somebody said, the best is yet to come. I don't care what you have been through. You serve a God that can make yesterday brand new. Your marriage ain't exciting no more. You just hold on. Which one said, keep on holding on? Lord have mercy. And this right here is worth the price of admission. Look at that last verse. He says, wait. He says, wait on who?
The Lord.
He didn't say wait on a you. A you will let you down. Why will a you will let you down? Because it's by men and women. Somebody stay in the flesh. But if you don't believe David, you ought to believe Isaiah, because Isaiah said those who wait on the Lord. Again, I said wait.
Yes.
And be
of a good courier.
Yes.
Lord have mercy. Some of y'all can't shake your feet.
Hey!
Oh, well, I got something for you. I'm going to lead you this gym. You know, courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is being able to function in the midst of fear.
Yeah.
Well, can I bring it closer to home?
Yeah.
Some of the, y'all, what y'all are afraid of, you know how you get over what you're afraid of? You go to it. I had a brother. The brother was afraid of heights, just like me. And he was getting ready to go out. This was just last week. This is a young brother. 32 years old. And he said, I'm flying for the first time. Company flying him.
Uh-huh.
Paying all paid expense. And he's worried about flying. That's how the devil steals your joy. You ain't gonna never reach your destiny. You're not gonna enjoy what you do have as long as you sit there scared. I told him, brother, you know how to overcome your fears. He said, how? I said, you afraid of heights. He said, I said, fly.
That's right.
He said, fly. I said, you're afraid of flying, right? I said, yeah. I said, well, then fly. Get a window seat.
That's right, huh?
And as you're taking off, look out the window.
Yeah.
At your feet.
Yeah.
And then feel yourself safely in that seat. Y'all just missed that. I ain't talking about in the seat. I'm talking about in the arms of God. I don't care where you are. Whether you're on the ground or in the air. Don't you know God is a God of the air also? Your fears.
Uh-huh.
Some of you are afraid of predators. Are they corrupt? That's somebody you can't even answer your phone. Don't answer that. But y'all ain't gonna say amen. I mean, somebody's closing right now. Somebody's out right now. Hey, you ain't gotta say it, but you do. You will look at that. You will look at that caller ID. The Bible says, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." I had a brand new phone, nice gadgetry, and I love electronics always, and I'm going to be afraid to answer the phone that I bought. I said, the devil is a lie. And I started facing my creditors. Matter of fact, I started calling them. And they tell me how much money. No, I'm telling you how much money I'm going to give you. What you going to do? Come take one of my children? Somebody said, you can't get blood out of a church. I told one of my creditors, I'm going to pay you $25 a month and you're going to be satisfied. And I told him, I'm going to write you a letter and you're going to tell Equifax and Experian that I'm paying you some money. That's what you're going to do. We're supposed to see you in the driver's seat. I got the God of the universe. I ain't never scared. I tell you, last week, one of the people came to me and asked me what kind of supervisor he was, and I told him. You know, some of y'all are afraid to confront people. If you are a child of God, confrontation is inevitable. You cannot get away from confrontation.
That's right.
Some of you are afraid in your own house. Oh, you say you ain't, then why are you going around your own house whispering?